Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 1. I'd like to say thanks to Jay for Wednesday night and Brother Richard for last Sunday. I was supposed to be gone, but I was here. I just wanted to hear him preach. And enjoyed both of them. I tell you, they're great guys. Anytime I'm gone, I can look back at our church. We have so many preachers here that every one of them do a wonderful job, and I thank God for having so many here that I can call on in a spur of the moment, and they're always ready. Now, this morning in Exodus chapter 1, I'm speaking through a bunch of people I know that are going through some hard times. If you're not going through some hard times, you will go through some hard times, so just wait a while. It may be raising those little children who are such little darlings. Are teenagers you may be having some trouble with. It may be some old sin in your life that just keeps giving you a problem over and over and over again. Or it may be your finances. Whatever I'm speaking to this morning, hard times come our way. And a lot of us right now, maybe a cancer, maybe a disease in our life. Maybe for some of you young people, it's going back to school this past week. Whatever it is, God says we're facing some hard times. But you know what? God never leaves us alone, does he? He always gives us some good news. And in the book of Exodus, I find how to deal with the hard times in my life, and he gives us some good news. You see, the Bible tells us that we can say goodbye to the bondage that we're in, the bondage of sin, and hello to the blessings that God wants to give us. I don't know if you've ever read the book of Exodus. It's a very interesting book. It is a sequel to Genesis. Exodus picks up where Genesis leaves off. Genesis is a book of creation, but in Exodus, it's a book of redemption. Genesis tells us how we are sinners, and Exodus tells us that God has provided a way through a Savior to get out of the sin. Genesis, we find out how man got into that sin, and Exodus, we see that escape from the bondage, escape from the sinful life. Now, in Exodus, we're going to find that God has a way this morning to get us out of the depression, to get us out of the hard times that we find ourselves in. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I need this message just as well as you need it. You see, preachers don't have it easy. We have hard times in our life. We have difficult days in our life. Now, through the God's Word, and through the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life, I find that I can get through almost anything. And I find the way of blessings in God's Word. Jesus says over in John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, if you're here this morning and you're in the bondage of sin or you're facing the hard time, God's Word can set you free from that this morning. Now, it's a wonderful thing to know that God is showing us through the book of Exodus how to get free in our life. And it's wonderful news to think about all the things that God gets rid of, all the junk. Man, we've been in the process of moving from one house to our new home, and I don't know about you, but I have a lot of junk. I've moved junk 3 or 4 times already this year. If I'm walking a little slow, it's because my back's almost out. And you know, I've got a lot of junk, not only that you accumulate in your home, but a lot of junk that we accumulate right here. Amen? A lot of stuff that we put into our life unnecessarily that holds us back from the blessings that God wants us to bless us with. But you know what? There is a way out in life. Now, in Exodus, let's look at Exodus chapter 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. All those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, for Joseph was not, he was already in Egypt. And look what it says: and Joseph died, all his brothers, and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied, and grew exceedingly mightily, and the land was filled with them. Now the Bible says there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And it happened in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and go up out of the land. Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh cities, Phithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them," the Bible says, "the more they grew and multiplied." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. God, as we look at these passages of scriptures, that, Lord, your Holy Spirit will come in and open our eyes that we might understand. And Heavenly Father, if there's someone here who's got so much junk in their life that they need to get rid of it, Lord, I pray today they'll find a way out. Today they might be released from all that stuff that causes us to be weak, that causes us to fail. And Lord, that we might be blessed of you. And God, will give you the praise, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Now, the first thing we see in Exodus is the names of households they're given. Remember God's promise? His promise was to Jacob with God, and God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And he says, because you have struggled with God and have prevailed, I give you a new name. No longer shall you be called Jacob, but you shall be called Israel. And the children went down into Egypt because, one, they were starving to death. There was a famine in the land, and they were literally starving to death, and they needed food. And then again, Joseph was down there, and he was head over, second in command to Pharaoh himself, and handled everything. And God had blessed him, so they went down to Egypt. And down in Egypt, you know the story, they grew and multiplied, the Bible says. Now, God has already promised and already said what was going to happen. They would be down there for 400 years, and they would grow and multiply. But you know what? The Bible also says that Joseph died, and all the generation died, and there was a king down there that knew not Joseph. So we have a threat here. We have a threat to the people of Israel. Now, God had already promised all that, and God says, don't fear Egypt. He said, I'm going to make you a great nation. In that word where it says they increased, literally means they swarm. You ever seen a hive, a bee? They just swarm. Last year I was down at the farm, and I was mowing and come across a bunch of hornets. Man, they come up on that tractor, and they was stinging me right and left. And you know what? I gave them that tractor. they were swarming me. And they were winning the battle. Well, that's what happened in Israel. They got out there in Egypt and they multiplied. And literally they were growing faster than the Egyptians. And the king began to say, you know what? They're going to grow so fast and overtake us. If we're at war, they'll join the enemy and we'll be in trouble. He says, we need to do something. You see, when Joseph died, Israel lost its security. You see, when Joseph's generation died, there was no longer a Pharaoh that felt he owed Israel anything. As long as Joseph lived, the Pharaoh lived, that was under Joseph or over Joseph, he felt an obligation because of the famine. And he remembered him and treated him well. But the Bible says when another one came on, he didn't feel a responsibility any longer. And he didn't realize that what Joseph had done for them. So he felt, I don't owe them anything. And the Bible says he was a new king of a different kind of king, in the sense that he felt no obligation to the Israelites whatsoever. They were living down in Egypt, and they lived there so long, literally, they lost their heritage. Now, folks, let me tell you something. We have been living in Egypt in America. We have lived in Egypt so long that we have forgotten our heritage. Does that remind you of what we're facing today, folks? You can say what you want, but when I grew up, when I was in the first and second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth, I can remember it. We come to class in our school, and the first thing we did was have prayer. I believe America had been in Egypt too long when we stripped our schools of prayer. Amen. You see, I remember when I went to school, we prayed to God, and then we had a pledge of allegiance to the flag, and we said, in God we trust. Amen. And America believed in God, and they put their faith in God, and we began going downhill when we started taking God away. And then we stripped not only our schools of prayer, we stripped our cities and our courthouses and everything of the Ten Commandments. And you know, then we misinterpreted the church and state. Listen, separation, the Bible says, of church and state never meant separation from God. You see, God ought to be the center of America. God ought to be the center of our church. God ought to be the center of our public buildings. God ought to be in the center of our lives. And no government should tell us that we don't have the right to pray and to keep our children and our schools from praying. This nation is founded by believers who built laws based upon godly principles. And folks, let me tell you something. It may not be popular, but we better get back to those godly principles, or we're going to find ourselves in bondage in Egypt, taken over, you see. Oh, it can never happen. It will happen. If you come and listen to the Bible study on Tuesday, you'll see that we're slowly going where we're going at a faster rate now, in that direction where America's going to collapse. All we think, you know, we're a nation under God. We're not under God anymore. We've decided that we're too smart for God. We want to do things our way. That's arrogance. Man, Joseph is dead. And the land is swarming with Israelites. And this new king, he didn't know them. And he didn't feel that he owed them anything. Now in 9 and 10 we see the translation, he wanted to deal with them shrewdly, or deal wisely with them. They were under a threat. And folks, we're under a threat today in our country, in our nation, in our churches. No wonder churches are not seeing any baptism we pull away from the Word of God. We fuss and we fight and we bicker and we bite and everything else. Man, I don't want to be a part of something like that. I don't want to deal with, you know, when I come to church, I just want to worship God, you see. I'm not worried about what classroom I'm going to meet in. I'm not worried about what time it's going to start. I just want to come. Man, I heard a good message this morning. Brother Perry, I went in his class this morning. He taught a great Sunday school lesson. I hope every one of you had a great Sunday school lesson. Listen, that's what it's all about. You come and you sit and you grow. You feed off the Word of God. You let the Word of God get into your life. That's how we overcome that bondage that we're in. They were a threat. And the Egyptians knew that. Now God said not only they were a threat, but let's look at the treatment of the Israelites. In 11 through 14, it says they set taskmasters over them. Know certainly that their descendants, the Bible says, will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. Genesis 15, 13, and 14. And they will serve in a land that is not theirs, Egypt, and will serve them as slaves for 400 years, and then I will judge that nation. Folks, that's what Genesis said. God already knew what was going to happen. Nothing had got out of God's plan, you see. Now listen, here's Israel. They came to a land that was prosperous, and they even made it more prosperous. But they stayed there too long. I believe America is a prosperous nation, one of the greatest nations on earth, prosperity-wise. We have it all. Let me tell you, if you don't think you got it all right now, you just go to Africa, you go to Haiti, you go to some of those countries in China, you go to any Asian country or any African country and any South American country, and let me tell you, you'll be worshiping in a hot place. Nowhere. Most of those places don't even know what a cover is. We met under trees for a whole week. But we have been blessed here. And folks, we've been blessed, I believe, just a little too long and a little too much to where we've got to thinking we have to have all of this to worship God. You do not have to have that to worship God. You can sit out there in a field under a tree and praise God all day long. You see, you can worship God. Now, here's Israel. They came in prosperity, but now they're under bondage. Now, some of you are here today. You are under bondage. You've got bondage to sin in your life. The old devil's outsmarted you. He's told you, "I'll just try this. It'll all be all right." And you've tried it, and it hadn't worked out. Someone was telling me this week, friend, you know, drugs got a hold of their life. I said, "Well, how'd you get started on drugs?" "Well, it was just a trying them, preacher. I just tried one time is all I planned. One time was too much." The old devil says, "Just try it a little bit." Sex outside of marriage. You know, that's in our nation today, that's the popular thing to do. Just try it. The old devil lies to you, doesn't he? Puts you in bondage. It keeps you there. Come on, try this, do that. It's all right. And the devil, the first thing you know, he's got you hooked. Man, he loves to hook you. He loves to ruin your life. That's what he wants. Down in Egypt, they forgot God and they began to live down there and they were under bondage. And some of you are just like that today. You're in bondage to sin, you're in bondage to the devil, and you don't know how in the world you're going to get out. Well, there was a threat and there was a treatment. You realize one thing, that sin is addictive. Sin is addictive in your life. John 8, 34 says, "Whoever commits sin is what? A slave to sin." A slave to sin. Some of you are under spiritual bondage right now. You're a slave to sin in your life. But it doesn't end there, does it? Sin takes you always further than you want to go and keeps you longer than you want to. 11 says Pharaoh put taskmasters over them. The old devil, he's pretty hard. I never will forget, I grew up down in Rusk, outside of Rusk, a little town, but I grew up, they have a state hospital there. When I was in high school, I worked there. Most everybody did. But we'd go down to the cantina for break time, and we'd sit there, and these young people would come in. Their minds were literally burned up on LSD. The old devil made a hard taskmaster for them. And I watched them sit there day after day. They would come in there, their minds literally burned up, sitting there kind of like a zombie. And I thought, oh, you know, it must be, it's such a horrible thing to know for the rest of their life. Their minds are gone. They kill too many cells in their mind. Saw a young man that literally sniffed his way on gasoline till he burned up his brain cells. He ran through a plate glass door one day. Didn't even realize the door was there. Didn't even realize he had run through it till he was bleeding everywhere. The devil always makes a hard taskmaster for you. And folks, it may not be something like that, but it may be just a sin in your life that's over and over and over and over again. And you're wondering, is it ever going to come to an end? Does my life have to be this way? You see? Pharaoh made taskmasters over them, hard taskmasters, the devil. And he really makes your life miserable. Amen. Some of you are here today and you're miserable in your Christian walk even. Because you're trying to live for Christ and straddle the fence and world too. You can't do that. Young people don't ever fall into that trap. You know, in school or wherever, they'll tell you, oh, you can be a Christian, but you can also do this. You can't do it. You'll be a miserable Christian if you are. You see, Jay preached on Wednesday night, finding the will of God. God has got a plan for your life. God's got a purpose for your life. And yeah, you can say, okay, God, I want this over here. And he'll let you do it. But you'll always settle for second best. You see? If you're not going to do what he plans for you to do in your life, that first place, give him that. Give him all of your life. Make it complete in Christ. Amen. You see, sooner or later, if you're living in the sin and trying to be a Christian, sooner or later, folks, sin turns to a bitter experience. It catches up with you. The Bible says, whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. So we've got the Israelites, their threat. They're growing in a magnificent way down in Egypt. Pharaoh doesn't like them. His treatment of them, he's going to deal shrewdly with them. What he's going to do, he's going to say, okay, we're going to kill every male born. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine anyone taking a baby and running a knife through it or slashing its throat? Sounds pretty gruesome, doesn't it? But that's what this old Pharaoh did. He said, you know what? I'm going to trick them. Every time a newborn baby is born to a Hebrew, he said he has Egyptian midwives. And he said when that midwife comes in and that baby's born, if it's a male, you kill it. If it's a female, let it live. But if it's a male, you kill it. Folks, I just something about that just makes me sick. And yet, in America, we say, all right, it's all right to kill a baby. Abort it. Man, aren't we going down that same old path? We're going down that same old path, and God's not pleased with Israel. God's not pleased with Egypt. You see, every day the bondage in America, I believe, gets harder and harder for us to bear. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the way things are turning. But you know what? It's my fault. because I haven't spoken out. I haven't gone out and tried to tell people about the love of Jesus. And I want to say, where is God in all of this? And maybe you're saying, where is God in my life? Where is God trying to help me out when I'm in a bad situation? Let me tell you, He's waiting for you. That's where He's at. He's waiting for you. And I believe He's waiting for America. I believe He's waiting for a church to get so sick and tired of the way that they're living that they'll turn to Him and turn back to Him. You see, if you're tired of the old sinful life, you'll never get saved. You'll never get rid of that sin until you get so tired of Egypt that you turn back to God. Are you in bondage? Had a man tell me this week, an alcoholic. He said, I just can't quit. I just can't quit, preacher. I just can't quit. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of this alcohol, but I just can't quit. I said, why? And he said, I like it too much. Well, you've got to get tired and sick enough to not like it. You see? I said, when are you going to turn to Jesus? Well, I've tried Jesus. I said, how many times a day you read your Bible? Well, I don't read my Bible. You hadn't tried Jesus then, have you? You haven't got into the Word of God. You say, I believe Jesus is the answer to our problems. The problem is we don't give Him a chance in our life. We're so filled with the world and so love the world, we don't want to put Jesus in our life, but afraid we won't like sin anymore. Because you can't like both of them. Jesus says you either serve sin or you serve me. No man can serve two masters. Folks, where are we going in our life? What are we doing in our life? You want to get out of bondage, you've got to get into Jesus. That's just a simple fact. America wants to turn away from God or get back right with God. It's amazing to me that every time there's a crisis, we start saying, singing glory, asking God to bless America or bless us. America is no different from the people in the church. You see, I know people that don't read their Bible. I know people that don't come to church. But the moment they have a problem, God, amen, would you bless me? Amen. Why should he? Amen. You haven't blessed him. You haven't set foot in his house. You haven't read his word. Why should he bless us? Makes us think. That's the way they were. They'd been down in Egypt so long. They were tired and sick of Egypt. And then there's the termination of the Israelites in 15 and 16. Pharaoh has decided, I'm going to kill every one of them. You see, the devil has attempted to destroy the lineage of Christ from the very beginning. He's always there, but God's always, I love it. When you read the Bible, the devil is always in here trying to stop Jesus from being born. All the way through, he tries to stop the plans of God. But God is always ahead of him. He's always got an answer. You know, it's just amazing. If you read the Bible, how much today we fit into that same deal. You know, God is always there. He's got an answer for our problems. I think about Moses. I preached on Moses the last time I preached here. His parents saw that God, their baby was a godly child, and by faith they hid Moses for 3 months and then built an ark for him. Oh, man, they looked to God by faith. If we want to overcome the bondage that we're in today, we must turn to God by faith. What I like about this passage of scripture I'm reading, there was two midwives. Now let me tell you, Pharaoh said, listen, ladies, when that Hebrew is born, if it's a male, I want you to kill it. But they believed God's word enough, they wouldn't do it. They had faith in God enough that they said, no, we're not going to do this thing. And they come up with this idea that they would go and tell Pharaoh. And they said, Pharaoh, these Hebrews are not like Egyptians. When they start to have a baby, they have that baby so quick that they have it before we can get there. I think Pharaoh was pretty dumb. He believed them. But you know what? The Bible says God blessed them with a home for doing that. You see, just because they was Egyptians, God didn't say, you can't have faith in God. You may be sitting here today and you think, well, you know, I don't believe God, but I'd like to. I'd like to put my faith in Him. I would like to trust Him. You can be like these Egyptian midwives. You can put your faith in God today and He start blessing your life. He said He provided a home for them. That's really, He didn't go out and build them a home. That simply means He had a family for them. He gave them a family. He gave them a family with the Israelites. You see, folks, that's what God wants to do. He wants to give you, pull you out of bondage, Martin, and give you a family called Christians. I know when I got saved in 1975, He gave me a family. Not just the family I have today, but He gave me a Christian family, a family of church people that loved me, a family that stood by me, a family that prayed for me. And He picked me up out of that old miry clay and set my feet on a solid rock. And folks, I've been serving Him ever since. I love it. I told my wife this morning, I said, you know what today is? She said, no, what's today? I said, today, or September the 2nd, we've been serving here 28 years. 28 years. And I have a wonderful family right here. I thank God for every single one of you. I know we have our struggles, we have our problems, but you know what? We're not going to fight about it. Jesus is that common denominator that we have together. You see, they were under the sentence of death, those two midwives. If they had told him, Pharaoh, you know, we're not killing the babies, they would have been executed. They would have been executed. But God stepped in there. And if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, you're under the bondage of sin. You're under bondage of some slave to some drug or finances or whatever it might be. All you have to do is turn to Christ. I didn't say everything's going to be rosy. Man. But with Him, I found a way. I found a way. I found a friend. I love that old song. I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. Jesus is always there, folks. He's always wanting us to come closer. Always wanting us to get away from the sin, the bondage we're in. Yes, there's always a threat in our life. There's always the treatment that we'll receive as Christians. But you know what? God is always there to bless our lives. If you've never come out of bondage this morning, you've got something that's holding you back from enjoying the blessings of God, Exodus says you can come out of it. You can get rid of it this morning. You can come to God. You can come and enjoy freedom. Oh, you got to work at it. I told that young man, I said, listen, you try reading God's word. You try it. It'll come alive to you. You get out of it what you put into it, folks. You get out of it what you put into it. If you don't ever read it, it's hard to live the Christian life. But if you'll draw near to God, He said, I will draw near to you. He will love you. He'll be walking right beside you. When you go through the fiery furnaces, and we will, He'll be right in the middle with you. He'll tote you. He'll carry you. He'll love you. He'll kiss you. He'll pick you up. He'll punch you again on that solid rock. Would you trust Him this morning? for all your needs. Some of us have been living in Egypt too long. We've been down there till we've almost lost sight of God. Till almost we've been a generation that doesn't know God anymore. You need to come home. You need to get back into church. You know, I was kind of sad. Brother Howard read the Sunday school report. 200-something. I thought, oh, how many members we got that need to turn their life around. They're not going to do it unless we get out there and try to get them back. Would you go see someone this week? Would you share the gospel with someone this week? Would you tell them about your Sunday school class? Would you love them? Don't judge them. Just love them. Let them know that you care for them and you want them to grow. May we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today, God, that there's someone here that their life is full of turmoil. Lord, they fight in struggles and hardships in their life, but they don't have to. You said, come to you, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I'll give you rest. God, I pray that they'll come this morning, giving their life to you. We give you all the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.